All right, this is Dan Young and Ian Mays here for Common Ground Media and the Noia Radio Project. We are with Tom Pepper of Common Ground. And what's your official position, Tom?
I am the Director of Operations.
Director of Operations at Common Ground Relief. And so we're here on location in the Lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans. And so let's start out by asking you, Tom, tell us about Common Ground. What are what's its general mission, and what are its current and upcoming projects?
We're transforming ourselves from a hurricane relief organization to a rebuilding effort. We've successfully gutted over 3,000 houses, provided innumerable amounts of aid, be it food or clothing or cash, to hurricane victims here in Katrina. And now as we move forward, you know, 2.5 nearly years after the storm, we're beginning the rebuilding effort, working on our volunteer housing, but also going ahead and reaching out into the community, hopefully being able to renovate at least 8 homes the first quarter of 2008.
All right. Did you have any? So that is the main current project you have, lining up 8 homes to renovate in the first quarter of 2008. Is there anything else going on?
Well, that, and we're continuing our bioremediation and our wetlands program. We're planting a series of mangroves and bald cypress, and also propagating grasses that are going to be planted in the swamps and wetlands of southern Louisiana. We're also going ahead and reopening our legal clinic, which will be staffed by actual attorneys this time, and also working with our media and our technical support area, which is renovating computers and laptops and donating those to the community. So, our focus is here in the Lower Ninth Ward. We've partnered with about 6 other organizations here in the Ninth Ward, and moving forward to rebuilding the community here.
For those who don't know, real fast, listeners far off, what is the significance of the planting the cypresses, mangroves, and grasses in the wetlands in terms of the city of New Orleans and stuff?
The grasses and the trees act as a surge protection. These hurricanes that come in, the Gulf of Mexico is relatively shallow. And what happens when you have these hurricanes come in is you have these, astronomically high waves, they can be 50 or 60 feet, that come ashore on land, and these mangroves and these grasses hold the soil in place. They also buffer the land from these large tidal surges. So it's very important that that this type of vegetation be replanted quickly. It grows quickly, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done, but it's very important to the survival of the coastline of southern Mississippi and also of Louisiana.
And the legal clinic, what are the main kind of help that that's going to be providing to people?
We're taking more of a proactive stance in regards to the legal clinic now as we move away from, disaster relief. A lot of these people, as they come back in and they begin entering into contracts to rebuild their homes and also to have interior renovation work done, before they sign contracts, if they do have questions, we want them to be able to meet with an attorney, to go over various clauses and, so they have a better understanding of the legalese, so that they can avoid getting into problems with unscrupulous contractors and they have a better understanding of what's going on. And we can keep them out of trouble from the very beginning with their rebuilding. So it's a very difficult thing for everyone, but I think with our proactive stance, we can avoid a lot of problems with a lot of these people trying to come back.
And then could you tell us about the bioremediation project and what's going on with that?
The bioremediation, initially after the hurricane, after the gutting efforts took place, we needed to go ahead and do the mold remediation. We're finding, 2 years after the storm, as people are able to come back in and rebuild, that it's probably a good idea to go ahead and spray the interior of these houses again before they begin, their electrical and drywall installation. Also, too, a lot of these people are going to be getting, you know, federally insured mortgages, and the banks are requiring, soil testing. The soils need to be free of lead contamination and arsenic contamination. We had initiated a sunflower growing program, which did lead abatement, and as people are able to move forward and rebuild, they need to make sure, or their lenders are wanting to make sure that their soil and the land around their homes is contaminant free.
Wonderful. So I guess wanted to ask. What has been your involvement and history and role in Common Ground? How long have you been here and been involved? How did you come to be here?
Well, I'm from Miami, and Hurricane Katrina hit us in South Florida about 5 days before it hit here, and suffered some damage there myself, and was having to rebuild down in Miami. But I had come up to New Orleans for the first time in October of 2006 as a house gutter. And at the time when I first got here, there was still very few people here in the Ninth Ward where we were concentrating our efforts. We didn't have too much electrical power. There still weren't any street lights. There still weren't any telephone lines. Here in the lower Ninth Ward, the debris was still all over the streets. There were still houses and debris everywhere. They didn't even begin cleaning up this portion of the lower Ninth until February of 2007. But I came here as a house gutter and went back and forth a couple of times, still getting houses, and then just sort of was asked to get involved in the operations of the organization.
Okay, yeah, this is Ian Mays. I'm interviewing here with Dan Young. So I was wondering, if there's anything more that you wanted to say about your personal history and involvement with Common Ground.
The organization, we're trying to make sure that this organization is sustainable. There are a lot of interesting projects that Common Ground Relief is doing that we think are important to not only the people here in the Lower Ninth Ward, but also to the city and the state of Louisiana. What we wanted to make sure was that economically we were in a position to be able to move forward. We currently have no debt. We don't take any donations from the government or the United Way. So all of our donations that we do receive from individuals or foundations is all private. We want to make sure that we do have some accountability. And so as a matter of going ahead and sitting down and working on budgets and making sure that we could continue to function not only month to month, but year to year, and do a 5-year plan for the organization and what we want to go ahead and do. And I think it's important that that organizations such as ours have some accountability, not only to the people who are interested in sending us money, but to the people who volunteer their time here. It's really important.
Now, can you say something about the history, general history of Common Ground, how it got started and how it got to be where it is now?
Well, the organization was founded a couple of days after Hurricane Katrina. We had originally set up a medical clinic or a triage center over on the West Bank in a small little town called Algiers. And we were providing, emergency medical care to victims of the hurricane. And shortly thereafter, there were some ham radio operators who had come in. And we started hearing information from people who were scattered throughout the city, but specifically in the Ninth Ward, who were trapped in their homes. And we were intercepting calls and messages. And people started to, get boats together and crossing the Mississippi River to try to get into the Ninth Ward and save people. After the waters receded and, when the barricades came up and the military was keeping people out of the area, volunteers decided to go ahead and break through the barriers and begin gutting people's homes and trying to look for people. And, a year and a half after the hurricane, we had gutted, some 3,000 plus homes. And now we're moving forward with rebuilding, hopefully, quite a number of the houses that we gutted that are still standing.
So, I guess throughout the history of the organization and today, what are some of the major obstacles that Common Ground has faced in all these projects they've tried to undertake?
Well, I think it's just pretty much just, government, the inability of the local government to go ahead and provide services to these people. You know, it's been very difficult to be able to move forward and telling people that they can come home when they have no fire hydrants and there's no police station and there are no fire stations and they have no electricity. And, you know, the energy company is making people just jump through hoops in order to just to get a temporary electrical service in front of their homes. You know, the inability of City Hall to even try to accommodate people, you know, to be able to pull permits, you have to go down to City Hall, you know, like Monday through Friday from like 9 until 4, which is crazy for most people who are working or who are trying to rebuild their homes in New Orleans but are living an hour and a half away in Baton Rouge or, you know, or in Houston. You know, there's still a lot of people who have not been able to come home. You know, the city's just has made no effort to make things easier for people. There are no satellite city halls where people can come in and pull permits. There's no one from the city down in the Ninth Ward who's, you know, giving out information or helping people with their paperwork. It's just it's just unbelievable how the city has just not tried to be helpful for anyone here that lives in New Orleans.
Thank you. So then what have been some of the greatest successes you can identify of Common Ground for Common Ground?
Well, I think that, you know, as you gut people's homes and you approach them about being able to rebuild, I think that, you know, the most important thing is that a lot of these people, they are finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. It's amazing to me to sit in on some of these meetings where, you know, 2.5 years ago, these people never thought that they'd be in a situation like this. You know, no one expects to drown in their backyard. And people who are coming from all walks of life, you know, banding together and trying to solve problems themselves and being able to work through things and move forward and wanting to come back home. I mean, it's amazing. The number of people who are, you know, or who are living in these little FEMA trailers, but, you know, they have plans to rebuild as soon as they have their monies lined up and want to come back. I mean, they're here, they're tending their yards, they're planting flowers. They don't have a house on their lot yet, but, you know, they do have yards. And, you know, they're planting trees and they're moving forward in anticipation of being able to rebuild their homes.
One of the big, I don't want to say slogans, powerful, empowering phrases of Common Ground is solidarity, not charity. What does that mean to you and to the organization?
Well, I think that everyone comes here, you know, comes here from a different walk of life. You know, they certainly have a different, oh gosh, how do you want to put this? You know, a lot of people haven't been here in the South for a long time. A lot of people haven't experienced a hurricane. You know, they don't know how devastating they can be. But it's amazing from people from all different backgrounds, all different ages, who have a common thread, of helping people here and, you know, and trying to rebuild, a community. So to me, that's the most significant thing that I've taken from this, is to be able to meet all of these, you know, relatively young people that are here. I mean, college age and kids who are just, you know, coming here and, you know, volunteering their time as much or as little as they can, but they're all wanting to help.
And here, you ask question 5. Mm-hmm.
This is your question. Okay. Another slogan that I've seen around here, I think it's on a poster as well as a T-shirt that Common Ground distributes. It says, restoring hope and teaching civic responsibility. And I was wondering what that phrase would mean for you.
Well, I think that, you know, civic responsibility is, I think at this point with what we're doing here in the Ninth Ward, it's something that the community, however large or however small it is creating for themselves. You know, there is some civility here. People are very friendly. People are very helpful. And I think that the ability to go ahead and rebuild this community, literally, you know, without the help of, you know, the mayor and some of the city council people. I mean, this is like a neighborhood grassroots effort. You know, these people who live with relatively close to each other within several city blocks who have, you know, decided to take it upon themselves to rebuild their community from, you know, from the ground up.
So another powerful phrase utilized in a lot of Common Ground documents is rebuilding New Orleans in a just and sustainable manner, and or a more just and sustainable way, or something like that. And so, how do you see that? What does that mean to you? How do you see that being lived out in the Common Grounds projects?
Well, you know, a lot of the construction here is wood construction. I'm within, like, New Orleans Parish. Probably these houses are probably at least, you know, 85 to 125 years old that we've been gutting. You know, they're all southern pine. These houses, you know, went through a hurricane that wasn't that powerful, but they're very well built. I mean, their roofs are still on, their windows weren't broken out. I mean, the unfortunate thing is they all sat in water for weeks on end. You know, where we are, where when the levee broke, the wall of water was about 35 feet high, and the houses that we're working on now sat in about 18 feet of water for 2 weeks. I think what's really important is being able to rebuild these houses so that they're economically better, that the electrical expense is not going to be that high. I know some of the stuff that we're working on now is being able to take these homes off the power grid. Also to go ahead and have a potable water component, you know, with cisterns that can be used to collect water for gardens. I think it's almost, we're almost reverting to probably how these homes were originally built and what their intended uses were, you know, 100 years ago, where, you know, people are trying to have these homes as inexpensively able to operate these houses as inexpensively as we can. To the benefit of everyone.
Okay, and yeah, the last slogan that I curious about what it means for you is "Roots Run Deep," and I was wondering what that means.
I didn't know we had so many slogans. Yeah. Roots run deep. Well, I mean, roots do run deep here. In this area, the Ninth Ward, the port here has probably been here for 150 years. This area, the Ninth Ward that we're in, you know, it was founded by a lot of free blacks, you know, after, you know, in the 1830s and 1840s. And these people have lived here for generations. And, you know, and rebuilding and trying to move forward, you know, that's the one underlying, aspect of all of this is that these people want to come home. This is home for these people. And, you know, it may take them a while, but, you know, they're going to rebuild their houses. And, you know, they want to see their neighbors again, and they want to be back in the neighborhood, you know, where they've lived for generations. We're starting working on one house, where the barge came to rest after the levee wall, broke. The woman who owns that house is 100 years old. And, she's gone ahead and allocated some monies, and we're going to go in there and start ripping off her roof and rewiring and replumbing the interior of her house and making it handicapped accessible for her. And hopefully we'll have her in here, you know, by the end of March. So yeah, that's roots.
So I'm going to jump ahead because we're on the topic of this neighborhood in particular. There have been people living here for generations, and there have been many floods before. And the August issue of National Geographic had some detailed maps showing how this part of New Orleans, in particular, lots of New Orleans, but also this part, the Lower Ninth Ward on this side of Claiborne, is below sea level and is subsiding further below sea level. And whether or not sea levels actually rise and hurricane storm patterns intensify, as some people are saying may happen due to global warming, it seems there's a high likelihood that this area will flood again, possibly catastrophically. So simply based on the experience of the 20th century, so how has that been factored into Common Ground's ideas and plans for rebuilding in this area?
Well, gosh. I mean, just from experience, I mean, the last time that there was really a serious hurricane that hit New Orleans was in 1965. A lot of the property owners who were here in 65 were here in 2005. I'm from Miami. I've been through, you know, 10 hurricanes myself in my lifetime down there. You know, those storms happen, and you have to build to be able to accommodate those storms. I think that we've really learned our lesson from Florida, and with both Louisiana and Florida share the same windstorm insurer. And I think that as we rebuild here in New Orleans, we're planning on taking some lessons from what happened in Florida and making sure that these houses are built at higher elevations, that they have hurricane straps in the walls and in the ceilings so that there's more stability in the structures. Also going ahead and making sure that these houses are equipped with shutters to protect their windows. Also going ahead and making sure that the roofing systems are better made. Make sure that they're actually nailed into the rafters, using heavier weight roofing materials so that the roofs do stay on. And there are things that you can do to make your houses safer and to make them be able to withstand hurricane force winds. And I think that that's one of those are the major issues that we're trying to address as people rebuild here. Because not only does it make the houses safer to live in and to survive a hurricane, but it also makes, the cost of windstorm insurance less expensive. If you can show your insurer that yes, indeed, we've taken this into account and that the buildings are better built, and that you're able to secure your property as best you can, but there's nothing you can't predict these hurricanes. You never know where they're going to go. They turn at the last minute, but you need to be prepared.
What steps are being taken to account for possible flooding?
Well, I mean, the houses here are going to be built at a higher elevation. I think it's a matter too of proper on the part of the city of New Orleans. I mean, what we found here was that a lot of these storm sewers were clogged. There had not been any maintenance of cleaning storm drains. There had been just this neglect of the basic infrastructure here. One of the things that I was still doing when I first got here a year ago was cleaning out storm drains. And, the levee system, works for all intents and purposes. The pumping stations work, for all intents and purposes. It's a remarkable city with some incredibly wonderful people in it. It's part of the country's cultural heritage. It's a city that needs to come back. And it's a wonderful place. People should come and visit here and see, for themselves, what this area is about and what the city of New Orleans is about. But I think as we move forward, particularly here in the Ninth Ward, that this new construction and these new homes that are built, are going to be, something that the neighborhood and the people who own them are going to be proud of.
So, one of the things that has struck people about Common Ground as being unique is that it has a different kind of model for disaster relief. This model has been described as being grassroots and based on solidarity and mutual aid. Can you please describe this alternative model of organization?
Well, we don't have too much structure here. There are not a lot of rules and not a lot of regulations. We try to be civil to each other. And we, as I said before, we're from all different backgrounds. And I think it's sort of remarkable for us to be able to live together without rules and curfews and without all of the trappings of structure. And allows us to get together and meet and formulate what we think is best for us at the time. So, I think that's an interesting aspect of the organization.
Common Ground has historically, in the last 2.5 years anyway, attracted a lot of activists, a lot of different kinds of social change activists to be involved in the organization. Could you describe Common Ground's relation with social change work?
Well, I mean, we're not a political organization. We weren't founded on that basis. I think that the organization and what we still see are, you know, if there's a problem that we think is correctable, or that can be corrected, we try to do that. I think that we are sort of activists in regards to the housing situation here. You know, I think we need to be. I think we need to be also with the medical clinics that we've set up. You know, trying to be a little proactive. You know, it's very difficult. I mean, you can get emergency medical care here, but you know, your follow-up care, you have to drive an hour and a half in order to get the follow-up care. So, you know, I think it's a matter of just like sort of, you know, slapping the nose of the big dog. It's important that, you know, that we do things and stir up a little trouble and show that with a little determination, you know, a little grassroots organization with very little money, can, you know, can set up 2 medical clinics and can have a legal clinic and can, you know, plant hundreds of thousands of buckets of grass and do all these things on a shoestring budget. And if we can do it, you know, why can't the city?
So, what are the plans for the future of Common Ground?
I think, you know, what we're trying to do is to make the organization sustainable in regards to the social work that we do. You know, we'd like to be able to, you know, we are planning on having this legal clinic move forward. The wetlands projects and the bioremediation projects are going to move forward, to make those, you know, well funded and financed. You know, the home rebuilding process is going to be moving forward. We're also trying to go ahead and reach out, to go ahead and create a program for job training, for disadvantaged youth, here in the Ninth Ward area. You know, so that we can go ahead and teach them some skills and working, with several of the unions who will, you know, take some of these kids at risk, you know, under their wings so that we can go ahead and begin, you know, a job training program. I mean, we're in here for the long haul. I think what we're thinking about with Common Ground is, you know, it's not our intention to have volunteers from all over the country here running this organization. I mean, it's something that we're trying to put together that we can eventually turn over to the community. And I think it's important that we have, you know, community members involved with us, you know, every step of the way. But there are some things that we want to go ahead and put in place that we think that, you know, are sustainable.
Can you tell us about the art installation project that's happening down here and Common Ground's involvement with that and the other organizations and what's...
The art installation project is part of a fundraising effort on the part of an organization. It's a not-for-profit by the name of Make It Right, which is also being spearheaded by Brad Pitt and Stephen Bing. We have... they've raised quite a bit of money so far. This large art installation is being used as a fundraiser. All the monies that are raised are making it possible for a homeowner to come back and pay less money for rebuilding their house. You know, every dime that we raise makes it easier for someone to be able to move home.
I guess so. How can people across the country who are inspired and interested in Common Ground, how can they help out? Like, yeah, especially where can donations be sent or given, and also what kind of volunteers are wanted right now and how people could get involved with that?
Well, right now we're looking for more skilled volunteers. We've partnered with Marquette University. They have students that are training as drywall hangers. But we need people with, you know, with some skills, either, you know, electrical or plumbing, painting skills, masonry skills. You know, these people need everything. I mean, we need to be able to, you know, install cabinetry and bathrooms. You know, anybody who has a mechanical aptitude, I guess. You know, we're beyond the point where we needed masses of people to come down and do, you know, just manual labor in gutting these houses. But, you know, if someone has some experience, we're more than happy to hear from you. We do have, you know, housing and food available And we think our accommodations are certainly much nicer than they were a year ago. But, you know, if you do have some skills and you have a week or two of your time, you know, we would be more than happy to hear from you. You can go to our website. It's www.commongroundrelief.org. There's some information there in regards to volunteering, contacting our volunteer coordinator via email. You also, you know, we are interested in going ahead and raising monies to help us rebuild some of these homes. If you're interested, you can send a check to our post office box in New Orleans. It's P.O. Box 6128, New Orleans, Louisiana, and the zip code is 70174. The checks just need to be made out to Common Ground Relief. And also, you know, check out the website. We have an Adopt-a-Block program where we're raising monies to go ahead and rebuild houses for people who are especially in need, since they may not have gotten enough money from Road Home or from their insurance proceeds. So we'd be more than happy to hear from you, but you know, check out the website. There has a lot of information on what we're doing. The programs that we're involved in has some photographs of the houses that we're working on. So, whatever help you can provide, whether it be monetary or volunteer-wise, is greatly appreciated.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Tom, and for all the help and information. And thank you, Ian, for the help with the interview. And thank you to the listeners.